أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Safed Urusso Malije, kind of stressing your host. Make sure your mobile phones are on silent. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
إن شاء الله بعد الدعاء وكبات درس القرآن هوا. إن شاء الله after the remaining دعاء. Dars of Quran will take place. All our brothers are requested to stay behind and participate. Inshallah, it will be very beneficial. Inshallah, come closer. It'll be very beneficial for our hereafter, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran regarding the revelation and the protection of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الْذِكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. That indeed, we are the one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are the one who revealed dhikr. We are the one who revealed the Quran. And وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. When we have revealed the Quran, so it is our responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's up to me to look after the Quran, to preserve the Quran. So what happens is, when something extraordinary thing is going on, so we try our best to attend those kind of things. So the Quran is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only has preserved the writing of the Quran, not only the wording of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also preserved the meaning of the Quran through Imam Mufassirin, Imam Fuqaha, Imam Muhaddithin. So this is the extraordinary thing that we have going in front of us. So this should be our aim, that we should see in the gathering wherein the Quran is being explained, to witness the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to benefit from such kind of majalis, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. If I can ask the brothers to come closer, inshallah. Come closer. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was once sat in Masjid al-Nabawi and Harun Rashid came to listen and participate in the dars. Harun Rashid was the Khalifa. And Harun Rashid, he came into the Masjid and he sat against a pillar far away. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi from far, he called out, he said, come to the gathering, come here. And he said, إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ لَا يَأْتِي يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. Ilm doesn't come to you, you have to come to ilm. You have to come to ilm. If you want to gain ilm, if you want ilm to transpire into your life, into amal, adab is important, adab is necessary. Khair. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا اكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. سيدة عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, the wife of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, أم المؤمنين, the mother of the believers, the woman who has narrated the most ahadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, she was the only wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was not previously married. And she was the only virgin wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many people who try and claim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a womanizer. He had nothing important but to try and get as many wives. That's why he had 9 wives. They try and make this claim against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if this was the case, then number one, why would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam settle with 9 either divorcees? They were either a divorcee or widows. Out of the 9, you know, one of them was only a non-widow or non-divorcee. So why did he only settle on that? Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkatul Mukarramah, when he was oppressed, he was on the apparent back foot. The mushrikeen, the people of Makkah came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said that if you are calling towards this new religion and you are saying our idols are false, and by doing it you're trying to make a following, you will have a few objectives. Maybe you are trying to become famous and popular. So they said, we will make you our leader. And if it is because you want wealth, then we will make you the richest of the Arab. And if it is women you're after, then we will marry to you the most beautiful women of Arabia. At that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was married to one woman, Khadija radiallahu anha. He was 15 years older than him. He was 15 years older. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, he himself was 25. And when he became a prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he became a prophet, he was 40. So if Khadija radiallahu anha, so when he married her, he was 25, she was 40. 15 years later, he is given Nubuwwah and prophethood. So that means 15 years later, so she is now 55.
At the age of 55, he is being offered that whichever woman from the Arabs you want, we will marry her to you. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to all of these proposals? I'm not here for that. I'm here to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any ulterior motives that you thought I may have, that put them to one side. Not only that, if I ignore these ulterior motives, you will come after me, you will attack me, you will oppress me. Doesn't matter. If you make my task as difficult as holding the moon and sun in one hand, in the other, doesn't matter. I will carry on in my mission. So if he was, na'udhu billah, a womanizer, and was only after women, then he had the opportunity. The opportunity was at his doorstep. Number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in certain ahadith, mentions the quwwah and the strength Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. When I say the quwwah and strength, I mean the carnal strength. The carnal strength. So it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's carnal strength was a lot more than 100 men. His carnal strength was more than 100 men. And when that was the case, if he was to suffice on only 9, has he done more or less? A person, he has the carnal strength for 4, and he suffices on 1. Then you will say that no, he is controlling himself. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's shahwa and desire was more than 100 people, but he sufficed with 9. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the women that were permitted to him, from amongst them was one group who was those who gift themselves to him. Those who say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهَبْتُ لَكَ نَفْسِي, I have given myself to you as a gift. So in that scenario, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to many fuqaha, did not even have to pay a mahr. He did not have to pay dowry. So he was going to get a free woman without any, you know, financial burden in getting married. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of these wives, none of these women who presented themselves to him, did he accept besides one. And the one that he did accept, when she went back, she said, her friends said to her that, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a number of wives. He has a number of wives. And you have a lot of ghayra. You have this protective jealousy, which is nothing wrong with it. It's natural. But you will struggle. So she went back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, can we cancel the deal? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cancelled the deal. If he was a womanizer, he would say, no, it's too late now. Now the ball is in my court. No problem, go. So number one, this claim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was marrying lots of women. You know, we have discussed these 3 points. Number two, specifically his nikah to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. A big point is made of it, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married a 9-year-old. She was 6 when he married and 9 when he consummated his marriage to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The first point we need to understand, my friends, is, like I've said before, deen is very perfect. Deen is too far ahead, it's too perfect, it addresses every single point too well. You know, just on polygamy, I was discussing with someone, you know, a non-Muslim, he said, you know, I have a problem with Islam, many problems, one of them is polygamy. Polygamy, why are men allowed more than one wife? And why is polyandry, why is a woman not allowed more than one husband? So, you know, they said, okay, fine, a man is allowed more than one woman because of a number of issues. For example, single mothers. If everyone is going to get married to an unmarried woman, who's going to marry the single mothers? Who's going to marry those women who have reached an age where shahwa and desire is not an issue anymore? You know, this happens in India, Pakistan a lot, where a friend, he passes away and he leaves behind an elderly wife. The husband himself is old, and the friend is also old. And the wife that has been widowed, she is also old. So desire is not even in the discussion. So they get married so that he can look after her. So that he can, you know, looking after someone from the outside is more difficult. So they will get married to the the wife, the widowed wife of her, their friend, out of care for her. Because in the West, marriage goes hand in hand with desire. So as soon as you talk about marriage, the first thing that comes into mind is, you know, fulfilling one's carnal desires. And when that's the case, then all these negative points come with it. You know, why did he get married to two? Maybe he has a lot of lust. That's not the only reason someone gets married. That's not the only objective behind marriage. The khair, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marries Aisha radiallahu anha at the age of 6, and the nikah is consummated at the age of 9. First of all, what is the legal age, or what should be the legal age of nikah? When should a person be allowed to marry and consummate? More than the nikah is the age of consummation, where marital relations, husband and wife relations, will be carried out. What should be the barrier? Because it's no good saying that, you know, that you have to, law has to have legislation. It has to be black and white. You can't leave it open. You can't say, when we feel it's okay. When both parties feel it's okay. Because if you're going to go by that, some parties may say, you know, 25. Someone may say 5. There has to be a clear boundary, a clear cut-off line. And Sharia says that marital relations, husband and wife relations, these are something based on physical maturity. Meaning, when should it be allowed? The first thing that you will have to look at is physical maturity. When does the woman become mature as a woman physically? I.e., when does she reach puberty? And that is at the age of a person, a woman becomes reaches puberty through her menstrual cycle, when her period first begins. And that usually happens around the age of 8 or 9. So number one, the definition. You see, they have two objectives. One objective is, from this angle, that she was just a child. And the second objective is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an old man. So I'll deal with this first one. That was she really a child? What is a child? We'll have to discuss this. What is a child? You know, in our current society, the legal age is 16 or 18. Without parental consent, it's 18. And if a person's parent consent, then a person can get married at 16. And if you go to some states in America, it's 15 and 14. If I recall correctly, Japan, it's even 12. So look, this is all subjective. Is it 12? Is it 16? Is it 18? And number two, you've defined it as 18. We can see around us, 18-year-olds are not mature people. Many 18-year-olds, many 16-year-olds are very mature. So how have you defined it as 18? What's the criteria? What is your benchmark? There is no benchmark. It's just, you know, it seems okay. The setup is that until 16 you go to school. So after school, then you're a bit free. So let's do it from there. You know, even the school setup, what is the objective behind it? It's very flawed, but that time doesn't permit. So what is a child? So Sharia says a child is a person who hasn't reached puberty. Look, for us to appreciate this point, let's take out from this scenario Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have a 13-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy. A person reaches the age of puberty at the age of 12, a male, a boy, usually the earliest. So at the age of 12, a boy can become baligh. He becomes a mature, physically mature child. And we have a 9-year-old girl. So the uproar in this scenario wouldn't be the same, because the age is close. Do you understand this? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very old, let's take out Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a moment. A 12-year-old and a 9-year-old married. Now, it's very hard for us to understand this because we are you know, comparing a 12 and 9-year-old in our age, in our time. But the truth is, a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and even in poor countries, is very different. Over here, a 9-year-old is still playing with cars. And in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and other countries, those who have been back home, they will see a 9-year-old is on the train trying to make a living because everyone's struggling at home. Those who have been on the train, you'll have a 9-year-old selling curry things. They'll be selling tea, kaman. Why? Because they have to grow up. There's no time waiting about. So a maturity of a 9-year-old in our time, or in our country, and a maturity of a 9-year-old in a lower, less developed country, it's a clear difference. Go back into the desert of the Arabia, where you have to grow up. Life is hard. You have to mature. So a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, the objection won't be so great. So now, was Aisha radiallahu anha a child or not? So there's two points. The nikah took place at the age of 6, and the consummation was at the age of 9. Now, why did he marry at the age of 6? This is something which differs in customs. Even in our culture, people marry, and Sharia is not happy with this. This is becoming more and more common, where the nikah will take place, let's just say today, and after a whole year, the wife will move in with the husband, and rukhsati will take place, as we call it. Sharia is not happy with this. Because shaitan, as soon as a nikah comes into amal, shaitan looks for excuses to break it. As soon as a nikah is done, from that moment, shaitan tries from before as well. That's why you'll hear many people, they become engaged and then they break. But shaitan, as soon as a nikah comes into place, his first effort is, now how can I break this? And the less is at stake, the easier it is to break. The less that it is at stake, the easier it is to break a nikah. So if only a nikah has taken place, it's very easy to break. If a nikah has taken place and they have moved in together, they have established relationships now it's harder to face the community. It's hard not to say that every divorce and every separation is bad. But many a times it's, through reasons that shouldn't happen. So if we are delaying the nikah, the rukhsati and the moving in of the wife a whole year, then there's less at stake for a whole year. So many people, they have a nikah, and in that 1 year period, the nikah breaks. It's very common now. It's very common. When you have moved in together, then you are forced to try and make things work. And you realize that, there's differences and we don't get along in certain things, but we're living together now. But when you're not attached, it's very easy to pull out. That is why, if you look at the figures, that over half of divorces in America are in married couples. Half of married couples divorce. And you will see many a time that someone is in a relationship for 10, 15, 20 years. They get married and 6 months later, divorce. What happened? You were living together for... This is how shaitan works. Tukhair, this is based on custom. The delay between nikah and the consummation without reason should not happen. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam married at the age of 6, Aisha radiallahu anha's age was 6, and the consummation was at the age of 9. I went to India last year, and I went to my in-law's relatives. And over there, there was all these kids playing, 5, 6-year-olds playing on the street with their small bicycles, etc. So one of my wife's uncles, they said, this kid is married. He said, he's married. So I looked around, there was no adults. So I said, who's married? So they said, that kid there. So I was a bit taken aback. So I said, to who? So he said, to that kid there. meaning, sorry, they're engaged. Engaged. That kid is engaged to that kid. So one of them was 5, the other one was 7, 8. So, you know, I was taken a bit aback because we are not used to this. For there, everyone's, you know, it's normal news. So I was taken aback, but then he said, and that kid engaged as well. So I said, to who? So he said, that kid. And then they told me most of the kids are engaged well before the age of nikah. Now there's some issues that need to be addressed there as well. But no one found it strange. Us listening to it, we find it very strange. But over there, it was normal. Everyone, you know, the child who's engaged even knows that I'm engaged. I said, do they know? So he said, they know. And there's a slight problem there. You know, because once the kids become baligh and they have desires and they know this is who I'm getting married to, then you start to become free. Until you're not married, you're not married. Many people, they become engaged. And 1, 2, 3 weeks before the nikah, they start to behave as if they are already married. This is incorrect. Until you are not married, you are not married. So until you are not married, anything which was impermissible before nikah remains impermissible. Engagement is not nikah. Look, the culture over in that part of Surat, in that part of India, was that engagement happens at a young age. So no one found it strange. I still find it strange. But that was the culture there. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if it was a point of objection, the first people to object would have been the people of Makkah. They were looking to find faults in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But nowhere in the books of Seerah do you find a single objection, because this was the culture. So that's with regards to the nikah. And then consummation, husband and wife, marital relations at the age of 9. So I've already addressed that. Was Aisha radiallahu anha a child? No, she wasn't. She had become baligh. Number 2, if you want to talk about the maturity of Aisha radiallahu anha, then the incident that we will discuss today, Hadith al-Ifk, will show you how mature she was. It will show you how mature she was. And with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being an old man, so let's address this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the age of 63, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they say that he had no white hair. He had a few hair which had started to, a few of his hair had started to become brown, meaning they were starting to become white. At the age of 63, so imagine at 55. In the battle of Hunain, Rasulullah, so this is around 6, 7, 8 months before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away. At that age, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's physical strength. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Muslims were trapped and they entered the valley and the people of Hunain, Utaif, they started to throw arrows at the Muslim army, and the Muslim army retreated and they ran back. Only a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum remained with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ali and Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know, striking his conveyance to make it march forward, his camel or his horse. And he was saying these couplets, أنا النبي لا كذب أنا ابن عبد المطلب. I am a prophet, no lie. And Ibn Abdul Muttalib, I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. So I have a justful cause to fight for, and bahaduri and shuja'ah and courage and valor. This is something which runs in my blood. Abdul Muttalib, you know about Abdul Muttalib. He was my grandfather. And he was marching forward. And Ali radiallahu and Ibn Abbas are pulling his animal back because of the danger that he was forcing himself into. This was at the age of 62. So imagine his bahaduri and his shuja'ah at the age of 55. You know, we have to stand in Taraweeh Salah for a little longer. When the raka'at gets too long, we start to become weak. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, he says that I once stood behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Tahajjud Salah. In Tahajjud Salah, it was only 2 of them. In the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Nawafil bit Tada'i, to pray a Nafil Salah with Tada'i, getting people together, it is makruh. Tukhair, Abdullah ibn Abbas and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He performed salah and he was reciting the Quran, and he recited so much that I intended to do something bad, i.e. sit down. A sahabi, young, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu, he becomes physically tired. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in age was young, but he wasn't old physically. So this, you know, image that is almost, they try to portray that he was a very old, frail man getting through this very young. This wasn't the case. And number two, the point which is made is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam married this young girl. It must have been out of force. So if you read the ahadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, after he passed away, you know, if we can say she behaved with a lot of love in his life, then you can say there was a lot of pressure. But if you recall the ahadith after he passed away, then you realize how much she loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, if a person was a victim, once you have been freed from your victim, you'd become free. You know, you would have no issues. Aisha radiallahu anha stayed in the home that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away in until her demise. How small was that room? She must have had where this saf starts. From there till here, that's how much space she had. The size of the saf and a little more. Because eventually, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhuma were buried, and there is one space left for Isa alayhi salam. So how much? The small room was tiny anyway. So if she, you know, was a victim, I'm out of here. She remained. And I don't want to go because time doesn't permit. I need to get to somewhere. But if she was a victim, then the incidents of love, they wouldn't have happened. And they wouldn't have mentioned, she wouldn't have mentioned her fond memories after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. So this, you know, image that he was an old man marrying this very young woman, it's very contrary to the realities. In our times, you ask any alim, any mufti, you would say, no, don't do it. Why? Because the dynamics have changed. The men are not the caliber of men of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the women are not of the caliber of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the final point, as Muslims, these are answers that we can answer a non-Muslim with. As a Muslim, the answer is simple. Aisha radiallahu anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that Aisha radiallahu anha was shown to me in a dream. And I was told, this is your wife. And number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't inquire about Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha was mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Khair, this is with regards to marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha. Much more can be discussed. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was returning from a particular ghazwa and a battle. This is a very painful story. Aisha radiallahu anha was returning from a battle. Okay, khair, we'll do it tomorrow, inshallah. Leave a little bit of a cliffhanger as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn more about Islam and, you know, have the courage to discuss. But for that you need to know. For you to teach, you have to know. So we need to learn from the right sources. Many questions linger in our minds and we leave them unanswered. We leave them unanswered. And we don't know when that unanswered question becomes a means for shaitan to snatch us away from iman. So never leave a question unanswered. Always come, clarify. Like I said, Sharia is very perfect. All the answers are available. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Maybe kush bi marjallahu du'a kija. I'm little unwell these days. Request for du'a, inshallah.